Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you alone are the true living God. You are the giver of all good things. Father, we ask your forgiveness when we take your blessings for granted, when we display ungrateful attitudes for the blessings that we have received. Heavenly Father, this morning as we are going to be talking about what it means to become a thankful Christian, I pray, Lord, that we would honestly search our hearts and our minds, that we would see where we have been falling short when it comes to giving thanks, and that, Lord, you would put a song of thanksgiving upon our lips, that you would put an attitude of thanksgiving in our hearts, and that we would truly rejoice, that we would give thanks to you always for all things. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. As we begin this morning, I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles if you brought them with you, and if you didn't, there should be one right in front of you in the pew. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. In that particular verse, Ephesians 5:20, there is a command that many feel is the most difficult command in all of the Bible to keep. However, this command may also bring God's greatest blessings to you when it's obeyed. Let's take a look at it. This verse says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, that brings us to the title of our message for today, which is Becoming a Thankful Christian. As I was preparing for this message, it came to me that there are really, and there may be some exceptions, but there are really four main categories of people when it comes to giving thanks, or when it comes to not giving thanks, as the case may be. The first category of person I want to talk to you about is those that are constantly complaining. You ever met a person like this? I mean, nothing is ever right. Why are you looking at me like that, honey? nothing is ever right. These people never have a good thing to say about anything. All they want to do is find the negative in it. I heard a story about a woman that was married to a man like that. All this guy ever did was gripe and criticize. He never said one kind thing ever. Nothing was ever right. Well, she got up one morning and she said, you know what? I'm determined. I'm gonna make him happy today. I'm going to give him something to be thankful for. And she gently woke him up and she said, sweetheart, I'm going to make you breakfast this morning. And I'm going to cook you anything you want. And I'm going to cook it any way you want it. He says, all right, let me tell you what I want. I want two pieces of toast. I want one on whole wheat, one of them to be whole wheat, and I want the other one to be white bread. Now, on my whole wheat piece of toast, I want you to lightly butter that. And on the white bread toast, I want that plain. I don't want any butter. I don't want any jam. I want nothing. And I also want two eggs. One egg, I want you to fry over easy. The other egg, I want you to scramble. You got that? She said, oh, I've got it. And I'm going to get after it. She goes into the kitchen. She's singing a little song, a happy song, as she's making the breakfast. She prepares it exactly the way he wants it. He comes in. He's looking all grumpy. He sits at the table. She puts the plate in front of him. She made it exactly the way he wanted it. When she put it down, he still got a sour look on his face. She says, what's wrong, darling? He goes, you scrambled the wrong egg. These are the folks that are constantly complaining, okay? You can't please them. Now, there are those who don't constantly complain. This is the second type of person. They're just simply ungrateful. They are much like a hog under a tree, eating the acorns off the ground, but never stopping to look up to see where those acorns are coming from. Okay? They're just simply ungrateful. And we've got a whole lot of that today. We may not be bitterly complaining all the time, but many of us are simply ungrateful to God for the blessings he gives us. Now, the third category is those that are grateful, but only for the obvious blessings. Hey, if I've got health, I thank the Lord for that. If I've got money in the bank, I thank the Lord for that. If I've got food, I'm thankful. Only thankful or grateful for the obvious blessings. Well, then we come, folks, to the fourth category. The highest level, the biblical level, the level of thanksgiving that this command in Ephesians 5:20 is talking about, this is not the level of constant complaining. It's not the level of simple ingratitude. It's not even the level of giving thanks for the obvious blessings. Look at the verse. It is giving thanks always. For all things. That is the highest level when it comes to giving thanks to God. And that is the level, friend, that will bring you God's greatest blessing. There's a legend about a man that one time he went for a walk out exploring in the woods. And when he got into a very deep, dark part of the woods, he discovered this barn. And he walked into the barn. And he quickly found out this barn belonged to the devil. Inside this barn, there were all kinds of bags of seeds that the devil would use to sow into the hearts and in the minds of human beings. And there was one specific kind of seed that there was a great abundance of, more than all of the others. And those bags were marked seeds of discouragement. Just about the time the guy started wondering what that was all about, who should walk in but the old devil himself. And this man says, "Hey, devil, I got a question for you. I see you got all these seeds in here that you like to sow into the hearts and minds of people. I don't know if I'm losing my battery. I don't think my beard is hitting this. We will continue to march." He says, "I notice you got all kinds of seeds in here. But you have way more seeds of discouragement than anything else. Why is that?" And you know the old devil, he smiled. He said, "Well, let me tell you why. Because if I can successfully sow a seed of discouragement into somebody's life, that opens the door for me to sow any kind of other seed into their life I want. And I have found that those seeds of discouragement will grow anywhere except in the heart of a grateful person." Now, we're going to closely examine this verse, and we're going to consider a few points. The first point we want to consider is the duration of thanksgiving. That is, how often, how long should we give thanks? What's the duration of thanksgiving? Well, Paul says here that we should be giving thanks always. Why are we to always give thanks? Because God's blessings never cease, friends. And if his blessings never cease, then neither should our thanksgiving. See, giving thanks one Thursday in November every year, God deserves a lot more than that. He deserves your gratitude every single day, because his mercies, his blessings are new every day. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is speaking about God's mercies. You know what he says? "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And you know, I told the early crowd, somebody ought to write a hymn about that. You think? Yeah. Some of you will get that later. See, God has been faithful to you and he's been faithful to me. And so every day we really ought to be giving him thanks. And you know, our prayers, even our prayers, they should be mixed with thanksgiving as well. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let me read that to you. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Or as Pastor Leroy would say, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And friend, when you're doing that, do it with a spirit of thanksgiving. And let me tell you something else. If you're continuing to ask God for more and more and more blessings, but you have not yet thanked him for the blessings that he has already given you, you are a foolish, foolish person. If you don't bother to thank God for what he's already given you, and you want to keep asking for more, let me tell you a secret. You're not going to get anything. Offer up some thanks to the Lord. His blessings never cease. So what is the duration of thanksgiving? Giving thanks always. Now, the second thing I want to lay on your heart is this. Not only do I want you to see the duration of thanksgiving, I want you to also see the dimensions of thanksgiving. We are to be giving thanks for all things. Now, look, giving thanks always, that wouldn't be difficult if Paul didn't also say that we've got to give thanks for all things. That's the hard part right there. Because there are some things that it's really hard to be thankful for. Now, why should we give thanks for all things? Quite simply because God rules all things. Look back with me at verse 19 if you're in Ephesians 5. This verse says that you're to be speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to God, and you are to do that, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look, I see the look on some of your faces. You're sitting there thinking, yeah, okay, Pastor, if you knew what I was going through, you wouldn't be up there preaching with that cheerful smile on your face. You wouldn't be up there trying to preach all of that, hey, stay positive, give thanks for all things. Let me share a secret with you. I didn't write that scripture. This scripture was divinely inspired by God. That means it is literally God-breathed. These words passed over God's lips through the power of the Holy Spirit into the heart of the man that wrote them down. I'm just the delivery boy. You know who wrote this? The Apostle Paul wrote it. You say, oh, well, he never had any problems. He wrote this from prison, man. And he is saying, give thanks to God for all things. Paul wrote that from prison. Give thanks for all things. Now, why is he saying this? Let me talk to you for a minute about the overruling hand of God. See, the dimensions of thanksgiving are that we are to give thanks. We are to always give thanks for all things because the overruling hand of God, the overruling providence of God, it controls everything. Even trouble, even tears, even heartache and problems and sickness and even death. And folks, many times God allows these things to come into your life, believe it or not, for a positive reason. Let's consider for a minute what trouble may do for us. Number one, trouble may correct us. In case you didn't know, God is in the business of correcting his children. And if you get out of line, he will most definitely discipline you and correct you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says it like this. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for for those who have been trained by it. Now, if suffering and pain sometimes correct us, then by all means, we should give thanks for it. And I'll tell you something else that suffering will do, what trouble will do for you. It will bring you into a deeper maturity. The best friend I have on this earth, Perry Yates, sitting right there, he is known for saying, pain is a great motivator. Well, if that's true, and I believe it is, let me also say that affliction can be a wonderful teacher. And that's not my words. That's a biblical principle. Affliction can be a wonderful teacher. Psalm 119, verse 67, King David writes, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That means, Lord, before you took me to the woodshed and put a beat down on me, I went astray. But now I obey your word. Verse 71, same psalm. David says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. God will correct you, friend, in order to bring you to a deeper maturity. See, many times we don't look up until we find ourselves flat on our backs. Many times we can't see through these eyes until they're washed clean by tears. God knows this, and that is why he sometimes allows these things, sometimes why he sends these things into our life that cause us pain. Look, despite what the fast-talking guy in the $2,000 Armani suit preaching on TV might tell you, God's priority for you is not health and wealth. God's top priority for you is not even being able to use your talents for his purposes. God's primary priority for you, his main priority for you, is spiritual maturity. He wants to make you like his son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, God allows difficult circumstances to come into our lives so that we might learn obedience and endurance. God is bringing you to maturity in your Christian walk, and if pain and suffering helps to do that, then we should also be thankful for that. Now let me tell you something else trouble, something else pain, something else suffering can do. It'll bring the excelling glory of God. It will bring the glory of God into your lives. Once again, not my words, this is biblical. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Listen to this. Trouble will bring the glory of God into our lives. Peter writes, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Now, brothers and sisters, as we grow ever closer to the end time, as we get ever closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we will experience increasing persecution as Christians. And if you don't already see that happen, and let me kindly say, you haven't been paying attention. Christians are going to be persecuted more and more. And the more you give thanks to God when you suffer that persecution, the more of the glory of God will rest upon you. Now, several years back, within the Southern Baptist Convention, which is really the part of the biggest Protestant denomination on the face of the earth, within the Southern Baptist Convention, there was a division. There was a battle. You see, there was a new breed of preachers who had somehow slipped in unaware, and they began promoting liberal doctrine. They began speaking in favor of things that the Bible was against. Now, some of the old guard, they said, we're not going to let this happen. You are not going to hijack this this Christianity that we embrace. We're going to stand firm for the truth. And you know what happened? The gates of hell pretty much opened up on these preachers that wanted to stand their ground and defend the Bible. Many, many people from within that denomination, many people in those pews actually turned against the conservative Bible preaching, Bible teaching pastors. They made allegations against them. They told lies about them. They said many things that were unkind and many things that were untrue. One pastor in particular who went through the middle of this whole thing, he said, you know, I got to the point where I no longer even tried to stand up and defend myself against these accusations anymore. I no longer tried to fight back against the lies. What I began doing was I got in the habit, when something like this was said about me, I would take that lie, I would take that accusation, and I would offer it up to God as a thanksgiving offering. And I would say, Lord, it's because of the stand that I'm taking for your word that I'm going through this. Lord, I am receiving this persecution because of my friendship with Jesus. Lord, you're the one that got me into this trouble. And so, Lord, I offer it up to you with praise and thanksgiving. And he said, you know, my peace and my joy was restored. And the worse the criticism I received, the sweeter the praise I gave to God. Now, friend, we have talked about the duration of thanksgiving, that is giving thanks always. We have talked about the dimensions of thanksgiving, which is giving thanks for all things. And now for just a couple minutes, I'm going to talk to you about the dynamics of thanksgiving. That is how we are to give thanks. Look again at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. Now here's the dynamic. Here's the dynamic. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's how it is to be done. True thanks should be given to the Father through Jesus. That's what real thanksgiving is all about. So first of all, we're to give thanks unto God. Why? Look at James chapter 1, verse 17, or you can just listen. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So why do we give thanks to God? Because every good and perfect gift comes down from him. Now somebody may say, okay, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you trying to tell me, man, that I'm to give thanks for all things? I mean, you think I should give thanks for violence and murder? You think I should give thanks for drugs and for crime? You think I should give thanks for illness and disease? Am I to thank God for that? You trying to tell me those things are good? No. And if that's what you thought I was saying, I'm afraid you have missed the point. I'm not trying to tell you any of those things are good. All those things are bad. What I'm trying to tell you is God is good. You see, God is good. And that is why we give him thanks. That's why we thank him always for all things. You see what God does? God, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, God takes all things, and that means even those bad things, okay? And he works them together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And because of that, we ought to be thankful. See, ingratitude, acting like a spoiled brat of a child, refusing to be thankful, that's exceedingly sinful. And if that's where you find yourself, I encourage you to confess that to God and repent of it. William Shakespeare said it like this: how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. In Romans chapter 1, Paul gives one of the main marks of paganism as being ungrateful. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That means if you fail to give thanks to God, friends, you're falling into deep, deep darkness. Now we give thanks unto the Father, and we give thanks through the Son. Look again at verse 20. We give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase, in the name, that is literally translated through the name. Jesus is the dynamic. He is the power. And we are to give thanks unto God through him. See, it's not biblically possible to thank God properly unless we're doing it through the authority of the name of Jesus. What we do when we give thanks unto God through Jesus, we're saying, Lord, God in heaven, it is by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, that I give you thanks. That's how we do it. That's the dynamic. Now, I got one more story for you I want to use to kind of start wrapping this thing up. There was a pastor who took his family on vacation. They were on a road trip. And they were driving down the road in one direction. There was a car coming out of another direction that had a big kind of a plastic trunk on the top of the car. And as they passed by, that trunk fell off the roof of the other car and it hit in the road and it kind of cracked. And the pastor pulls over. He drags this thing out of the lane so nobody hit it. And he looks around because he wants to get it back to the person who dropped it. Well, they were gone. They didn't even know it fell. So he said, well, man, I want to return this person's property. Let me open this thing up. And really, he didn't have to work too hard to do that. It was pretty much broke open already. And he went through the trunk. He found no identification. He found no address. But he did find a medal. Inside this medal, there was a $20 gold piece that had been like embedded into the medal. And on the back of this thing, it said, presented to Otis Simpson on the day of his retirement from the Portland Cement Company. Well, the pastor did a little bit of investigative work. He was able to track down Otis Simpson's address. He sent Mr. Simpson a letter, and he said, hey, this trunk fell off your car. I've recovered it. I'd like to send it back to you. Well, Otis Simpson, he wrote the preacher back a letter, and he said, listen, I don't want that trunk back. Most of the things in it were pretty trivial. However, there is one thing I would like to have back. There was a medal in that trunk that I got when I retired, and it had a $20 gold piece in it. Please send that back to me. It is my most precious. It is my most prized possession, and I'd really like to have it back. And several more times in the letter, he referred to this as his most prized, most precious possession. Well, the pastor threw the medal in an envelope, but he also wrote him a letter. He said, Mr. Simpson, enclosed you will find your medal. You mentioned several times to me that this was your most precious possession. Sir, if I may be so bold, I'd like to talk to you about my most precious possession. And then this preacher gently wrote, he explained his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told Otis Simpson that if he would pray to receive Jesus, all of his sins would be forgiven, that he would receive the gift of eternal life. And he sent that off. He got no reply. Finally, on the 1 year anniversary of him sending this letter, he received an envelope from Otis Simpson. He opened it up. Inside he found a letter, and he also found that medal with the $20 gold piece in it. The letter said, "Dear Pastor, I'm sending this medal back to you. I want you to keep it. It is no longer my most precious possession. My wife and I now attend a Bible teaching church. Jesus Christ has become my most precious possession." That is a wonderful, wonderful story, friends. As we're about to close, I want you to listen to me, please. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if He is truly the Lord of your life, no matter what you may be going through right now, no matter what terrible storm of life may be crashing down on you, you can always say, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." So what is the duration of thanksgiving? It's to give thanks always. What are the dimensions of thanksgiving? To give thanks for all things. And what is the dynamic of thanksgiving? Friend, that's to give thanks to God the Father through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Him, thank God for Him. And if you don't know Him, I encourage you to pray and receive Him as your Savior today. You can do it before you leave. Because when you know Jesus, you always have a reason to give thanks. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, so many of us fall so short when it comes to giving You thanks always for all things. Lord, I pray that in the days, the months, the years ahead that some of us may have, we would do a much better job at showing gratitude for the blessings You have given us. Father, help us to remain obedient to this command in Scripture. Father, we seek to glorify You. We seek to become like Your Son, Jesus. And we know that in order for that to happen, we have to mature. We have to build endurance. And many times, the tool You use to get us there is to send painful experiences into our life or allow them to come to us. Father, I pray that You would give us the grace even to remain thankful as these things happen. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.